We're continuing the Maharal. We're on page Chet, actually the second page of the introduction. And the Maharal says, Gam HaTorah Yetz Chayim, another aspect of why the Torah is called the Tree of Life, not only because the Torah itself is life, not only because the Torah is an extension of the Ribon Shel Olam, in that it is a revelation, so to speak, of the life that he gives to the world, but Torah gives life to he who holds on to it, meaning those who learn it. Kmo Shamar, as the first says, it's chayim hi lamachazikim ba, it is a tree of life to those who hold on to it. Very hard. You know, you guys will eventually leave this bubble called Machon Meir. And it's like walking out of the Anan HaKavod. You've walked out of the clouds. You're going to deal with employers that cheat on their taxes. Hopefully not. You're going to deal with neighbors that don't want to pay vad bayit. Hopefully they will. You're going to deal with teachers that are not up to par, even though hopefully they are. You're going to have to deal with the world and the failings that are around you, including our own failings. And one can very easily become disenchanted with the world, with the Aliyah process, with the land of Israel, with life. Life can become very tedious. Life can become a series of disappointments. I had a very interesting conversation. Someone wanted to discuss one of their children. So I heard all the issues, and we thought about what would be a correct next move for that child. And then I said, okay, and how are your other children? And suddenly I get to hear, well, this isn't good, and that's not good. And how's your work? Well, I wish I had a different job. And how's the house you live in? That's terrible. And I'm thinking, oh boy, wait a second. I believe that there are shortcomings in every aspect that we discussed. I believe that the apartment they live in, the kitchen cabinets are coming off the wall. I don't think they made it up. I believe that the job he works in, half his money goes to taxes, and it's very frustrating, and the commute is frustrating. And I believe every single complaint that I heard. But I also believe that there's a reflection of his attitude, and not only of life, in the facts that he presented. And I believe that every person can end up in that rut. And one of the great gifts that the Torah gives us, and that learning Torah gives us, is a much broader perspective on life. It changes our perspective on life. You can deal with life. I don't know how people deal without the Torah. It is not a question to my mind why so many people need medication and are depressed, because life is challenging and there are frustrations and there are disappointments, but that's not the full picture. It's a part of the picture. Can I see the other part of the picture? Torah helps me see a true perspective. Torah allows me to live life, and without it, well, I'm a ship floundering at sea. Venikret Eitz, why is the Torah called the tree of life? It's a two-way street. We said Torah is planted in Hashem and Torah affects us. Well, you know, if we want to connect to Him, it's through the Torah. When one accesses the Torah, he's accessing his Creator. We said the Torah is like a tree planted in Him, blessed be He. So it's our tree of life when we can hold on to it. And that's what our sages taught us, that Torah is that tree of life. So we discussed the tree, we discussed Chay and Chayim, we discussed the tree of life. Aval derech eretz. What about derech eretz? Nikra derech, that's called a path, it's not called a tree. It's the straight path, it doesn't veer to the right, it doesn't veer to the left. It's a path that keeps going straight. Because when you take a path and it goes straight, that's what we call derech chayim, the path of life. What does it mean, musar? What does it mean? It helps a person veer off the veer onto the path. Why? Because man has desire. And man is made of the physical. And so man eats too many pizzas and has heartburn at night. Man is very attracted. I'm saying when I didn't eat pizza yet tonight. No, no one here is going to have heartburn, right? But we are attracted. We're like the moth that's attracted to the fire. We are very attracted. Why is it that there's a booming industry on the internet which any ethical person would tell you they should not have a part of? Why? Because we're attracted. We're attracted and we know it's bad for us. So musar means I could keep myself from veering off the path, from veering away from my desire. Because in fact, I know that going off the path of life means I'm connecting to a path that leads somewhere else. You ask an alcoholic, why are you an alcoholic? And he says, I know I shouldn't. I have a good friend, one of my dearest and oldest friends, who has a real problem with depression. He keeps seeing the bad in life. Not the first guy I was telling you about. Another guy. And I asked him once, I said, you know, you should get help. And he says, of course I know I should get help. Yeah, of course I know I should get help. That's such a great line. We all know we should get help. But we, that's what Musar is. Musar helps us from going off the path of life. And this is, our sages alluded to this as well, when our sages taught, Kasher nivreta isha nivra satanima. You heard that? When woman was created, our sages say, Satan was created with her. Shelo ne'emar samach mitchilat ha-Torah ad briyat ha-isha. You don't find the letter samach from the beginning of creation till the creation of woman. The letter Samach alludes to the word Satan. You don't find it till the woman is created. As the verse says, woman was taken from man's flesh. And then it says, Vayisgor basar tachtena. God closed the flesh where he took out woman. So you see the letter Samach. Vekamar sham, so the Talmud over there asks, the Medrash asks, it does say, it says about one of the rivers that it was Sovevet koleretz chavila. It surrounded the land of Chavilah. The Medrash answers, Ibn Arotu Dichtiv. That's not talking about humans. It's talking about streams. Vatamu. So why is woman compared to... What is that? How do you understand that? So he's going to address this in the same vein that Rav Moshe Cordoviro addressed this in Tomer Dvorah. Ki ha'ishayin imshelet l'chomer asher b'chomer davei ke'eder v'amitashu ha-satan. The word satan represents the attraction to the physical. One of the tools that woman uses in her life is that attraction to the physical. How many people would go out on a date with someone that's bald and missing half their teeth? And I could add another few amenities.
What else? Go on.
I remember the first girl I was offered to go out with. Someone came over to me and said, I have just the girl for you. She's not too bright. Right? And I was thinking, this was the first shidduch offer I got. So I stood there waiting for the punchline, and he says, that doesn't bother you, does it? I'm thinking, you have anything else to tell me? Why is she just the girl for me? He meant to say, I have just the girl for you. And even though she's just right for you, she's not too bright. Right? And that doesn't bother you. It was like, it was supposed to be, I've just the girl for you, period. She's not too bright, period. Does that bother you, period? But the way he said it, that's not what he said, right? I've just the girl for you, she's not too bright. Thank you. Okay, I hear you. Yes?
Okay, if I could play Satan's advocate for like 2 seconds.
We didn't finish. We read a very troubling line.
So
when,
far what I've heard is really sexist. Sexist, and it's someone who doesn't like believe in Torah, I guess. And that's proof that this was written by a man and not divinely, because the divine wouldn't separate men and women in that fashion. Only a man could say something like that. How how would one respond to that?
I would say that only, you know, if you walk into a barber shop, when the barber's in the middle of giving the haircut, you would really say, you don't know what you're doing. That's disgusting. And if you walk into a painter when he's in the middle of painting the picture, you say, that's really not nice. Why do they say you're good at it? And by the same token, we're in the middle of a thought. So you can have a lot of questions, but that's just because you didn't hear the full thought. They're legitimate questions if you don't hear the full thing. I'll give you an example. If I were to tell you, this is good and this is very good, does one seem greater than the other? Yeah, this is good and this is very good. And if I were to tell you that the Medrash says God created the world and it was Tov Me'od, Tov good, Tov Me'od. Which one is better? Tov or Tov Me'od? Good or very good?
Tov
Me'od. And yet, Chazal say that's the Satan. Tov Me'od. So when you hear the word Satan, you're hearing Ra. But Chazal said Satan is Tov Me'od. It's very good. It's the perfection of good. And sometimes the perfection of good. And when you hear Satan, you're automatically thinking devil with horns and a pitchfork. And a pig's nose and tail and whatever, right? No, when we say Satan, we're not saying that. Remember that he's called Tov Me'od, very good. Wait, how does that work? So we have to understand the concept a little bit better. So when we speak about Satan, right away we think derogatory and negative. When our sages say that the creation of woman is, along with it came the creation of Satan, our sages were saying that we have different roles, we have different capacities. There are multiple interpretations to that medrash. I'm trying to go with the one of the Maharal. Rav Moshe Cordoviro had a very different interpretation, which to my mind is even nicer than the Maharal's. But no one took this medrash literally. No one came and said, ah, women are synonymous with Satan. No one understood it that way. No one thought our sages meant to say it that way. Our sages were teaching us an aspect of the world that we have to be aware of. Our sages say when a woman is born, eternity is born. Our sages say when a woman is born, understanding is born. Our sages say when a woman is born, a family is born. Meaning there are many lines about what happens when a woman is born. There are saying our sages are telling us the potential. Will every woman breed a family? Will every woman have understanding? Our sages are saying there's potential for different things. And by the same token, there's potential. There's potential for that woman to be a source of lust, for that woman to be a cause to lead people off the path. I'm saying in the simplest sense, I think the Maharal meant something deeper. But because we're a bit short on time tonight, I want to take a simpler interpretation. Chazal say many things happen when a woman's born. Our sages say, Tov, Vashem berachet Avram bakol. Hashem blessed Abraham with everything. When is it considered that he had everything? When he finally had a daughter. Until then he had Yitzchak. But only when he had the daughter was it that Hashem blessed him with everything. That's called being fully blessed. So you can't take this medrash and say, look, Chazal spoke badly about women. I'm saying that's taking a very limited view of what Chazal were telling us. So if Chazal worded it here that when the woman was created, so then there's an element where at the same time Satan was created, they didn't say she is the Satan. They said the potential for man to go off the path. Satan means that from the word stiya, to go off the path. Just like you find the angel that came to save Bilam's life is also called Satan. But he's doing a positive thing. Right, but he was coming to veer him off the path he was going on. Anything that causes you to veer off the path is called Satan. When woman was born, so then together with her was born Satan. Chazal didn't say she is the Satan. Chazal said the potential for man to go off the correct path in his attraction to woman was also born. Meaning that's, if you want to understand it without being biased, for the positive or the negative. So that wording, when woman was created, together with her was created Satan, that literally understood means, when woman was created, together with her was created that potential for man to veer off the correct path in his attraction to her. That's what I'm saying, without forcing interpretations, without trying to defend. Yes?
We had another test about Satan, that how you can also sell your soul. So, like, that sounds like one being, and not like just a concept that when you go off the path.
It is true that there is the angel of death, which is also called the Yetzer Hara, which is also called the Satan. The word Satan can also mean that. That's true.
ולפיכך תוכחת מוסר המייסרים את האדם החומרי שלא ילך אחר תאוותו. And we said, דרך חיים תוכחות מוסר. The path of life is when a person is being taught to contain himself. And even though man is physical, he should not allow his physical desires to veer to take him off the path. Because man is corporeal, man is physical, and so it is very natural for him to connect to the physical. What keeps him on the path keeps him from death. Because death is when you go off the path of life. And that's what the verse is saying, that by teaching a person how to be ethical, by teaching a person how to stay on the path of Derech Eretz, you're teaching a person to stay with life. But that's Musar. That's telling him you have to contain yourself. Keep yourself from going off the path, because it's a constant struggle. Today we have a more difficult struggle. Today you open your cell phone, you have temptation. Everywhere you go, you carry temptation in your pocket with you. Once upon a time, temptation was, everyone knew where the local brothel was, everyone knew where the bathhouse was. Everyone knew when you could go to the river and women were washing clothing. Everyone knew where they could transgress. But if you didn't go there, you stayed in your own home. You stayed in your own, you know, you went to shul, you went to Beis Medrash, you went to work. There was much less temptation out there. There were always bad neighbors. I mean, there were always people who could tempt you. Today, you're sitting at home. No one knows what's going on. No one else has to be involved. And a person can do everything, or almost everything. And still, Chazal tell us, the path of life is when a person can be guided to hold himself onto the path. And this goes back to what we started with, the idea that we all know what we shouldn't be doing. They asked a lot of rabbis, a very interesting thing happened in the last 10 days. They asked quite a few rabbis, what should people do now that there's such an explosion of terrorism throughout the country? And the Rav HaRashi, and they quote Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and they quote Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, they quote everyone saying the same thing, and it really blew me away. They all, what they quote, I don't know, I didn't hear it directly from them, they quote them as having said, every one of us knows where we have to do tshuva, and that's where we have to do tshuva. No one came out and said a blanket formula, everyone should do this, that, or the other thing. What they said is, we know full well where we have to be different. That's where we have to be different. Everyone knows where they have to work. That's amazing. Yeah. Tochechot musar. Musar is, what holds me back from veering off the path. Yes, Yaakov.